Hey guys, and welcome back to the Becoming Her podcast with your host, Victoria McHugh. I am so excited today because I have my very first guest interview with one of my favorite people, one of my closest friends and business partners, Jo Rash. So hi, Jo.
Hello.
I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. And, you know, one thing that you guys will learn about Jo as she shares a little bit about her story is she really encompasses everything that becoming her is all about and all the value that I want to add to you guys and just, you know, that reinvention of yourself at different points in your life and, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly of that. And actually, this is going to be the first time that Jo publicly speaks about a lot of the things that we're going to discuss today. We're going to do a deep dive into her, you know, past with addiction and, you know, how she came through that. We're going to talk a little bit about marriage and the church and finances and business. And then we're going to go into, you know, some things that I think you guys are going to get so much value from, and that is marriage, separation, solo parenting, and co-parenting. So I'm so excited and thankful to have Jo on the podcast. I'm so, you know, lucky that I get to have a sort of front seat and to the growth that she's had over the last 5 years while I have known her. So please welcome Jo Rash to the podcast.
Thank you so much, babe. I'm honored to be here and be your first guest.
Thank you.
And, you know, when you asked me to speak and be a guest of yours, of course, I was so excited to. And equally, when I thought about speaking about some of the hard things I've been through, the first thing that came to mind was if there was anyone I would feel comfortable and safe to talk about this with, it would be you.
Oh, well, I feel exactly the same way. And I'm just so excited that our listeners are going to get this kind of insight into your life as well, because I think, you know, looking at social media, that can be really, really different to the past for us. And I know that with both of us, in our businesses especially, we show a certain side of ourselves and we don't like to go back to the past, but we are today. So I thought it would be best to kind of just introduce yourself to everybody, share a little bit about your story, a little bit about how you grew up, where you're from, and then go right into that very first sort of moment that you had your first reinvention.
Yeah, cool. So a little bit about myself. I am Samoan, born in Wellington, New Zealand. I've got two older brothers and yeah, had a beautiful upbringing, beautiful childhood. I guess through my teenage years, I didn't really have any direction or any thoughts of like a future or any kind of excitement about where I'd want to be in my life, and just fell into drinking alcohol and spending money that I didn't have from a young age. Mm-hmm. I guess lack of understanding, lack of direction and people to lead me. And life just seemed to spiral from there. You know, alcohol led to drugs, that led to bad relationships, that led into me getting into a lot of debt. And so very quickly at a young age, in my 20s, I was very lost. Mm-hmm. I would drink until what the saying was like in the gutter, you know, and I remember being around 25 and for the first time learning that debt wasn't a bad thing, And I had genuinely never learned or been told that. And from what I'd seen, it was normal that you can't afford things, that you just put everything on high purchase. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And I think I would love you to expand a little bit on sort of like when you got into that addiction stage, what was your thought process around? Were you just trying to cope? Were you using it as a coping mechanism? Were you using it as an escapism, or was it just genuinely like fun for you? So what was that deeper meaning?
I guess when I think about my addiction, I do actually think it started with alcohol. Mm-hmm. And in hindsight, I do believe I've got an addictive personality. So, you know, it started with alcohol and it was more fun. And equally, I think the bigger or deeper meaning of it was I didn't have a purpose in my life. Mm. So I there was nothing really to look forward to, and that was kind of all I knew, was you just go out and get drunk.
Wow.
And that then led to a really bad relationship, which kind of forced me to move to Sydney at a young age, while I was about 21, 22. And in Sydney was when I fell into my addiction with drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was the same thing. I was just in another bad relationship. I didn't really know what else to do with my life. That was kind of the norm. And I think, you know, the learnings that I've had the last couple of years about your environment and your circle and the people that you're around, when I think back to those former years, that was the circle that I was around.
Yeah. So interesting. And do you think that it had anything to do with, you know, your background, your culture, any of that? Because obviously, you know, you'd said that you didn't have a lot of direction. Do you think it stemmed from there? Or do you just think that you kind of fell into the wrong crowd?
No, I don't think it had anything to do with my culture or my upbringing at all. You know, my parents weren't big drinkers. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't suffer from any kind of addiction. I think it was just kind of what I fell into.
Yeah.
Yeah. And having an addictive personality and, you know, no directional goals in my life.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. You live for the weekends and live paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just love how openly you're talking about it, because it is really important, especially for, you know, people of that younger age, because it can be something fun that turns into something a lot more scary and a lot more addictive and, you know, a lot worse than just having a drink or two on the weekend. So it's really interesting. So then what kind of took you from that stage where, you know, you were getting yourself into debt and you were addicted to drugs? Like, how did you get out of that? Because that obviously took you to that first reinvention, which would have been what, in your late 20s?
Yeah, early 20s. So, and just to say as well, back then, so that was like over 15 years ago, talking about ICE wasn't a big thing. It wasn't a common conversation, which now I'm so glad it is a common conversation, because I wish it was back then.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize how addictive and how terrible that drug was.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now it's, because it's out on the table, people talk about it, people are aware of how terrible that drug is.
Yeah.
So I was in Sydney and fell into that addiction. I lost a really great job in North Sydney that I was telling you about because of it. And I lost a good friends and boyfriend at the time, all the stupid things that you get into. And that basically forced me to move back to Wellington, which was great because my circle of friends in Wellington weren't into that scene. So already it was taking me away from the drugs. And that was, I guess, the start of me getting out of that ugly situation. And then a couple of months later, a friend had told me about church, and that's when I decided to go along. I was at rock bottom. I had shitload of debts, nothing going for me, and that was, I guess, the next step for me really changing my life.
Wow. And can I ask, I don't know if I've ever even asked this before, but did you go to any form of rehab post drugs and alcohol? Because I know that you didn't drink for many, many years after, you know, going to church, and we'll get into that. But how did you stop taking drugs? Was it literally like a cold turkey thing, or was it, were you weaning yourself like off? Like, how did you go from being in Sydney and, you know, being on drugs to going home to New Zealand and basically cleaning your entire life up?
Yeah, good question. So no, I didn't go into any rehab. I think moving from changing countries and obviously completely changing my circle and all of that helped a lot, because I didn't have access to it. I did manage to get my hands on the drugs in Wellington, out in the night scene. You know, you sort of meet people and you sort of figure it out. But there was only a couple of times, thank goodness. And I was just grateful that it wasn't a big thing in Wellington that I knew of. And so I guess it was just cold turkey, but still a lot of drinking.
Yeah, wow. I mean, it's just so interesting. You know, obviously I've known you for 5 years, and I just couldn't even imagine you in that state of your life. I just feel so proud of you. And I always say, you know, I love somebody that has a story. I love somebody that has a comeback story, because it is so powerful to be able to say, this is where I was and this is where I am now. And I think anybody looking at you now would never have even ever wondered if that was your story. And I think, you know, we can have this sense of shame about our past and this sense of shame about who we were, but actually where you've come and what your future looks like is just miles from that girl. It's just, it's just amazing. So then you fell into the church.
Yeah.
Had you ever had any spiritual connection before? Had you ever been religious? Were your parents religious? How did that sort of come about?
Yeah, growing up, I was definitely in different churches through my parents. My dad was a Catholic. My mom was a part of a Samoan church. Mm-hmm. And then in my teenage years, I remember some of me and my friends going to another Christian church in Wellington. So I think it was kind of always there, but I would say I don't believe I had a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I guess coming to church after the whole drug situation was when I really found my relationship with God.
Yeah, and it's really interesting as well, because a lot of people in your position wouldn't even be open to it. Mm. You know, if somebody had come along and said, you know, hey, do you want to come to church on Sunday? Most people in your position in that addictive state would have said no. So even just the fact that you had hit rock bottom and you said yes was probably your subconscious or a part of you saying, I'll do anything to get out of this situation. You know, I'm ready to get out of this situation.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I think the real reason I said yes at the beginning was to check out the guys.
Well, look, well, that will lead us directly into the next part of your becoming her for sure. So you start going to church, you build a relationship with God. How does that change everything for you?
Yeah, well, I started going to church for a while. I actually didn't commit myself to church or to God because of the life that I was living. I knew that it was going to be such a big change.
Yes.
And I just didn't know. I'm someone, and I know that you know this now, it's like if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it properly.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that if I was ready for that full commitment to really change my life. And and I was also worried about what people would think of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my family and friends, you know, they all knew me as this party girl. And, you know, that a lot of my friendships or relationships were based around alcohol, so there was a lot of dynamics that were going to change because I was going to stop drinking and going to stop the partying and all of that.
Yeah, and I guess that's probably a concern for so many people in whatever decision they make in life, is you're going to have to sacrifice something to get to the next place of your life, right?
Mm.
And in your case, it was obviously the drugs and the alcohol, which was a given, but you were going to have to sacrifice relationships with people, and people were going to turn around and say, you've changed and we can't relate to you anymore. And for you to have the courage to almost leave that behind, knowing that those friendships were probably going to be over, those relationships, the potential, you know, boyfriends or, you know, romantic relationships were possibly going to be over as well. And you almost had to leave your entire being behind and say goodbye to that, Joe, in order to step in and commit into this next level of you, which obviously worked out brilliantly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great way of explaining it. So yeah, that's exactly all the thoughts and feelings that I had.
Like taking a leap of faith almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then you went into the church, and what was your commitment, or I guess your level of involvement in the church as time went on? Because I know that you weren't working in the church at the time, but you were very heavily involved.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess the big thing for me going from where I was at rock bottom, you know, addicted to drugs and alcohol and all the horrible relationships, I didn't want that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so completely turning my life around to move out of there, I was willing to do anything and everything to change that.
Wow.
And yeah, so no, I loved the life that I was living, you know, with church. I was fully committed, you know, I built all these beautiful relationships and sisterhoods, and I was all in.
Amazing. And then tell us how you met your husband, who your first husband.
Yeah. Have I got multiple?
No, but, sorry. I was like, how did you meet the person that you married initially?
Yeah. So I was living in Wellington, yes. And my ex-husband was up in Auckland at the time. Mm-hmm. And we had mutual friends that knew that we were obviously both single and just thought, hey, they might make a good match.
Ready to mingle.
Yeah. And at the time, I was actually looking at moving up to Auckland anyway. Mm-hmm. So it kind of timed in well. We obviously met and got to know each other and both involved in the church. Yep. And it went from there.
Amazing. And was that the first healthy relationship you had had as an adult, would you say, in terms of, you know, that as the next level of Joe committing to a relationship, was that the first one where you felt, you know, safe and loved? And was it different to the relationships you'd previously had in your 20s?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Amazing. So let's talk a little bit about that. So you guys got married.
Yeah, we got married, and probably 5 years into our marriage had our beautiful daughter, Maya.
Yes. And you moved to Australia.
Yes.
Yep.
I moved to Australia 7 years ago from Auckland, and then life, you know, built a house here, had our daughter here, and started my business, met you 5 years ago. And it was crazy because I think looking back, the thought never ever crossed my mind that I wouldn't be married to my husband.
Mm-hmm. I remember you saying that to me at the sort of when I first met you.
Yeah.
You know.
And things changed very quickly, I think, from COVID and, you know, through my own growth as a person. And next thing I know, I'm talking about leaving my husband.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back there and we'll talk as much or as little as you want to about it. And, you know, obviously we want to be so respectful to him, and he's an incredible man and he's a wonderful father to your daughter. And, you know, I got to know him over the years as well. And I think respecting his, you know, privacy as well is important. But for the sake of how much value you can add in this space, I'd love for you to talk a little bit about sort of like the first part of the relationship versus when things started to break down, or maybe not even when they started to break down, but when you started to feel a disconnect with him and how that looked. Because, you know, I know obviously from when I first met you, you had so much growth in your business very, very quickly. You had a lot of money that you hadn't had. Mm. You had a lot of things that possibly you had never imagined. You were going on these trips and you were building this incredible vision, and you had opportunities that you hadn't had before you started your business, and maybe how that shifted over to the relationship.
Yeah, that's a biggie. And like you said, you know, so much respect, you know, for my ex-husband and everything that we created and our beautiful daughter. Mm-hmm. And you know, I guess I want to say as well, while we're talking about this topic, I am so pro-marriage. You know, for anyone listening, I am all about fighting for your marriage and making it work and all of those things. But unfortunately, that didn't happen for me. So I guess just to answer your question, I don't even know where to start.
Well, maybe start with, when was the first moment that you felt something's not right? Or, you know, that first moment that you messaged me, and I remember it very clearly, and you sent me a message saying, I don't think I'm happy in my marriage anymore and I don't know what to do. Mm. Because it was quite some time between when you sent me that message and when you both decided that the marriage was over.
Yeah.
So what do you think that moment was where you woke up one day and thought, I don't think I'm in the right marriage, or I don't know if this is right anymore? And that's sometimes what I have learned in my experience, is sometimes relationships, they run a course, and sometimes the chapter closes before we want it to.
Yeah.
So maybe when was that moment where you thought, I just don't know if I'm happy anymore. I don't know if this is what I want for my future.
Yeah, I guess there was a couple of key moments. And looking back on the past, there were a lot of times where I may have had those concerns, but I never voiced them.
Yes.
And I do remember we had moved into, you know, a beautiful home by ourselves, away from my parents who were living with us for a long time. And it was great, you know, as you said, things were going really well in business, money, you know, all the things. Mm-hmm. It's like you could tick all the boxes. Mm-hmm. And I just remember waking up just thinking, is this it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and having what looks like you've got everything. But feeling so empty.
Yeah, interesting. And don't you think it comes down to what we were talking about today as well, about that internal peace, which I think is probably what happened with you, as in one day you woke up and you were like, I have everything that should be making me happy, but I don't have any peace. And I remember, you know, in those messages that you had sent me, you said to me, and I remember it so clearly, this is the first time I've said how I feel out loud.
Yeah.
And I think there was probably a part of you that knew once you said it out loud, then you couldn't hide it anymore.
Yeah.
And you couldn't take it back because somebody now knew.
Yeah.
And I would then be saying, hey, remember when you told me these things? And you were now accountable. And whether that was you making sure that you were accountable because you had been going back, or you'd been trying to squish down those feelings, that moment was really important in the first time that you told anybody, I don't think this is it for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very, very daunting, very scary. Like, as I mentioned, like it never even crossed my mind, the thought of not having a life with my family, with my husband.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just, I mean, I couldn't imagine how hard that would be for you either, and all of the things that come with that. So let's talk about that for a second, because I guess this is the second reinvention of Jo.
You know,
like as we're talking about that becoming her. So you had that first initial reinvention in your 20s, you know, coming out of addiction, going into the church and meeting your husband. And then you had this period of time where you moved to Australia and you were building this life and you started your business and things started to change. And then you get to this point where you think, I think, you know, I'm about to blow up my life.
Pretty much. Yeah.
If I decide to leave, I'm going to blow up this life that I've worked so hard for. You know, you've been working so hard for it post-addiction, while you were committed to the church, you'd worked so hard for it as a mom and in your business. Everything you did in your business was from your family. And to essentially say, I'm so unhappy that I'm willing to blow up my life.
Yeah.
Is huge. So what were some of the things that were keeping you in the marriage, even though you weren't happy and you didn't have that sense of peace?
Yeah, I guess there was a lot of fear, like the fear of the unknown. There was a lot of uncertainty, and it was really important for me to make sure I'd gone down all the avenues and done everything that I knew possible to make it work. You know, I didn't want to leave any stone unturned. And yeah, so a lot of uncertainty, a lot of unknown, fear, guilt, you know, worried about how he was going to be, worried about how it was going to affect my daughter, worried about relationships, friendships, worried about my business, if that was going to be impacted. Like, everything that I had known to be true and believed, I was basically throwing out the window.
Mm-hmm. And I remember, let's talk about that for anybody that maybe is in this position in their marriage where they are trying to make it work, or they're trying to go down every path to try and put the pieces back together. What were some of the things that you did? I know that obviously you did therapy individually, you seeked help from the pastors at the church as well. Just for some advice for somebody who's not quite at the stage of leaving, but is thinking if something doesn't change, that might be where we're headed. What would be some of the things that you would say, do these things before you make that final decision?
Yeah, well, to be fair, I feel like there would have been more that we could have done, mm-hmm. but for different reasons, it didn't happen.
Yes.
So I think do anything that you can,
mm-hmm.
you know, talk to, you know, either whether it's friends that have been through hard times in their marriage that might be similar, mm-hmm. or, you know, therapy, or you know, counseling from pastors and leaders or mentors, whoever you trust. Like, I think do anything and everything that you can. Mm-hmm. And I think, because then you would know, like for me, I was able to leave with a peace knowing
mm-hmm.
I had done everything that I could.
Yeah. And I think in your defense as well, and this is important for anyone else going through it, like both parties have to want to do the work, and both people have to want to save the marriage,
mm.
and or the relationship, which was in my case. And if there's one person that's more committed or more willing or more you know, receptive to that help, that is going to be difficult within itself if one person is wanting it more than the other person. So I think making sure that you're both on the same page about what you want as well, going in or out of a marriage.
Yeah true.
So when you decided that you wanted to separate, and I just want to say hats off to you because you both did it beautifully. I was there for the entire thing, and I know how difficult it was, but how much you loved and respected each other and the decision you wanted to make. What were then some of the challenges that you faced? I know that obviously some of them were mum guilt and that solo, you know, parenting. I know that you also had, you know, some massive challenges when it came to, you know, maybe your relationship with some people that were mutual friends with you guys in the church, things like that. Like what were some of the challenges that came with that decision to separate?
Yeah, all of the above. I think the mom guilt would definitely be the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's the hardest thing, you know. You want your children to grow up with a beautiful family, and you want, you know, your children to have happy family and parents together. That's what I always saw and believed that my daughter would have.
Mm-hmm.
Equally, I also wanted my daughter to have a happy mom.
Yeah.
So I had to trust and believe, and obviously being a woman of God, that as hard as it was and is, I knew it was the right decision.
Wow. I just like had to take a minute because I know that you're on the brink of, you know, this is emotional. It's a lot. This is the first time you've really ever spoken about it. And I guess it's probably a little bit like therapeutic as well to kind of think about it and look back and be like, wow, you know, I had to make some bold and brave and courageous decisions that some people wouldn't have made.
Mm.
And you had to choose you, and you had to choose your happiness. And you know me, I grew up with very, very happily married parents. They've been together for 47 plus years or 48 years. And I look at them as a beautiful example of happy people in a loving and kind and, you know, gorgeous relationship. But I am a firm believer that staying for the kids, and this might be controversial, and this is the second episode of my podcast, so welcome. But I am a firm believer that kids need to see their parents happy.
Mm.
I am a firm believer that two unhappy people will show children what that standard is. And I think that children need to see two people that love each other and they have that, you know, partnership and they have that affection between each other, because that's going to be the example that's set for them.
Yeah.
So now I see your amazing co-parenting relationship with your ex-husband. I see that you're both happy individually and your daughter is so happy, and she probably loves doing the whole 1 week at dad's, 1 week at mom's, even though she gets more ice cream for dessert at dad's. So, you know, what's your kind of take on, you know, that final decision to say, both are hard, and we talk about this all the time, you know, choosing your heart. It was going to be hard for you to leave, but it was going to be harder for you to stay. So ultimately, what did that look like?
Yeah, it, clearly it wasn't an easy decision. And one of the biggest things that I carried for a long time, which I guess I was surprised by, like, well, I'd never done this before, so I guess I didn't know what to expect, but the guilt was massive.
Mm-hmm.
I, even now, like 2 years on, I can feel a little bit of guilt here and there, like just the guilt of leaving my husband and mm-hmm. is he going to be okay, and mm-hmm. worried about his mental health. And one of the hardest things that I've done in my life was choose myself and walk away from something that was good, but I wasn't really happy.
Yeah, it wasn't serving you either. And I don't know if, you know, being so close to the relationship and knowing you so well, I don't know if you could have stepped into that next level of you while you were in that marriage or in that relationship. And I think you knew that as well. I feel like you felt as though you were being held back in your potential and your mission and the impact that you could have in this world. And also just as a mom and a friend and a coach and all of the hats that you wear, when your environment that you're in 24 hours a day, which is home, when that is giving you anxiety and you're walking on eggshells and you're not feeling loved and you're not getting those fundamental core things that you need from that environment, it affects every single other thing in your life. It affects the way you parent, the way you show up, the way you value your health, the way that you are in business. And so for you, I feel like you were trying to push between the person that you knew that you could be versus the woman that you felt like you had to be, the wife and the mom, and maintaining that marriage and maintaining that status in the church as well of being somebody that's not from separation or divorce. And so that's how I saw it for you. So let's talk about solo parenting.
Yes.
how obviously you and, you know, your ex-husband have an amazing co-parenting relationship now, and you guys do 1 week on, 1 week off. What was like the beginning of that solo parenting like for you?
Yeah, really hard, because obviously we were both used to having Maya full time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thought of not having her, you know, for some period was really hard for both of us. So initially we attempted to start with like maybe a 4-night rotation, mm-hmm. because like a week seemed too long. But very quickly we just found that the transition was too quick for her.
Yes.
But yeah, like, you know, obviously those first weeks and days on your own are confronting.
Mm-hmm.
But equally, I remember it also brought a lot of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peace is, if you haven't gathered from this episode yet, peace is something that Joe and I speak about a lot, which is very different to happiness. It's very different to joy. Peace is that internal state of okayness that I think is probably more valuable than any other state of being you can be in. Like, if you can walk into a room and feel peace, if you can sit in a decision that you've made and have peace, you maybe aren't happy. I don't think you were happy walking away from your relationship. I don't think you were happy saying to your daughter, this is the new norm, but the peace was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is the most important thing. And I think that's when you know that's your intuition and that's your gut and that is your faith and your spirit saying, I've got you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make it any easier, but it makes you feel like it's the right decision.
Yeah. And do you remember, like, for months I wasn't sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And my first night here in the apartment, I had the best sleep. It was crazy.
Wow. And you know, that's your physical body as well. And I think, you know, this is a whole nother episode that we could do is talking about how to understand what the mind is telling the body and the body is telling the mind.
Yeah.
And I do remember you, because I was living in the UK at the time, you know, I'd get messages from Jo all hours of her night, which was my day. And I'd say, why are you awake? And she would just say, I can't sleep. I can't sleep. My body is not okay. And then when you, you know, released yourself from that environment, made the decision and stepped into a new space, suddenly the peace came over you. And that's your head connecting with the body. It was exactly the same with me when I had, you know, came back from my trip where my fiance and I had split, and I walked into the room and I felt free. I felt like a weight had been taken off my shoulders.
Yeah.
And my mind and my body could finally connect again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think maybe that's a piece of advice you could give anybody who, you know, is in a marriage where it's not bad, but it's not good.
Yeah.
And I think marriage is supposed to be great and beautiful and magical. So before we go on to sort of finishing up with some of your advice for people in your position, I would love for you just to touch on what that co-parenting relationship looks like now with your ex-husband. Cause I know that, you know, you guys have a really great co-parenting relationship.
Yeah. I'm so grateful and, you know, so blessed that Maya has the best dad and that has definitely helped in the sense that the weeks that I don't have her, I'm not fretting. Obviously I miss her, but I know that she is in the best hands and she's happy and she's got a great relationship with her dad. So yeah, like, you know, 2 years on, we obviously, it's not what it used to be, but we have a mutual respect for each other. We both love our daughter very much and, you know, we put her first in everything that we do. So, you know, and he's built a great relationship with my parents over the last 2 years as well, when he needs their help with picking her up and all the things with work and whatnot. So yeah, I'm grateful we can co-parent really respectfully and well, and, you know, just pray and hope it continues that way in the future.
Amazing. So before we finish up, I have two things I want to talk to you about. The first one is, if you could be a voice for somebody who was you 2 to 3 years ago, who said, you know, I'm in this marriage that I thought I'd be in forever and nothing's happened, but I'm not happy. I don't feel, you know, maybe the connection or the love with this person like I used to, or I'm growing and they're not, or they're growing and I'm not. And there's nothing that's wrong, but there's also nothing that's right. And that, I think that was probably the hardest thing for you, because you're sitting there saying, well, nothing's happened, but it's not right anymore. And it's 100%. Run its course. And I wish and hope, I wish I could go back, because there was probably a part of you that thought, I wish that I could go back 5 years when I didn't feel those things.
Yeah.
But you can't. You can't stop how you feel, and you can't stop that, you know, that level of your life changing, right? What would be your advice to somebody who was you or is you now going through that, where they're like, I just don't feel that peace and something's not right and I'm going to blow up my entire life if I, if I do this.
I mean, I have had someone, you know, ask me a similar question really. And my advice is, do everything that you can. You know, as I mentioned earlier, like, get the help, have those hard conversations. Actually, that's my advice. I should have had a lot more hard conversations that I didn't have.
Do you mean all the way through the marriage or at the very end?
All the way through.
Right. So you were avoiding those conversations where things could have potentially changed earlier?
I think so.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. In hindsight, yeah.
Yeah.
And smaller things, but hard, but added up in the end.
Yeah, of course, compounded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think have any hard, difficult conversations that you are avoiding, definitely. And yeah, do everything you can. Get all the help and fight for it. And then if that doesn't work, I think at the end of the day, only you will know, and you'll have that peace and you'll know what the right thing is to do.
Yeah. I think that there comes a time, and you probably felt it, and I certainly felt it too, and, you know, leaving a 10-year engagement, essentially, there becomes a point in time where you just can't do it anymore.
Mm.
And I think that's the time where you think, I don't have any more to give. I don't have any more conversation to give. I don't have any more emotion to give. I don't care anymore.
Mm.
And I think when it gets to that point where you stop fighting, that's the point where you can't go back from.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So to finish off, because, you know, the podcast is all about becoming her and reinventing yourself, what's next for you? You know, you're 2 years into this healing journey. You've just entered into your 40s. You know, what's the next becoming her for you? What are you focused on? What are you learning? What are you loving? And, you know, what's next for Jo?
Good question. Do you know what I've actually really loved is being on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just being okay with my own company and living by myself, obviously the weeks that I don't have my daughter. So that has been a great journey, mm-hmm. that I have actually really loved. I've recently started dating someone. Ooh. So, yeah, so, you know, that's another part of the journey. And, you know, one thing that we always talk about is just continuing to better myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing crazy, nothing drastic, but, you know, being better in my health, being better in my business, you know, building a property portfolio, being a better mom, being more present, less time on social media, you know, just all those little things that make a big compound
mm-hmm.
effect at the ends.
Amazing. Jo, I'm so proud of you, and I'm so thankful that you spoke about this. And, you know, one person's, you know, journey of heartbreak is another person's journey of hope. And I just know that our listeners would have gotten so much from this today, whether or not it's somebody's in that position or has been, or their friend is, or their sister is. And just understanding your perspectives, I'm so proud of you. You know, just from where you've been to where you are now, your story is so inspiring. And I'm so grateful that I get to spend every day literally attached at the hip to you and watching you evolve, and the mother that you are, and the co-parent that you are, and the businesswoman, and the friend, and the sister, and the daughter. And you are just exceptional, and I'm so excited to see where you go on this next journey to becoming her. And I know that it's going to be brilliant, and I know that you're going to continue to just thrive. So thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And guys, if you like this episode, please share it on your social media. Please review it. Please rate the podcast. And thank you so much, Jo. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.